outside. And all them crazy murderers will never run from inside. You try to keep me down cause you see no joy. All them knows them from, so you call a man a boy. I ain't a tie, can't just see. Open up your eyes.
The thing that makes Judaism dangerous to everybody, to every race, to every nation, to every idea, is that we smash things that aren't true. We don't believe in the boundaries of nation state. We don't believe in the ideas of these individual gods that protect individual groups of people. These are all artificial constructions, and Judaism really teaches us how to see that. In a sense, our detractors have us right, in that we are a corrosive force. We're breaking down the false gods of all nations and all people because they're not real.
And here we go, folks. It is Monday. It's the 13th, 2026. Year of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the Gentiles. And you are listening to today's edition of the Ugly Truth broadcast. Welcome to the program, folks. Hope you're all doing well. Those of you of goodwill, all ye Gentiles of goodwill, as we say often on this program, we don't wish our enemies well, not when they are on a seek and destroy mission to ruin every aspect of our life and to rob us of our life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Not for anything that we've done, but merely because of the fact of who we are and who we are not. Anyway, folks, as promised on the last program, we are going to try to the best of our abilities to get in here three times a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, for a shortened program, not to do the usual hour or hour and a half big installment, but rather to try and take smaller bites out of this and make something of a more easier to digest analysis of the topsy-turvy events that unfortunately are spinning our world towards that place known as oblivion. A little bit of housekeeping detail. We want to make all of you aware of this new Rumble channel that yours truly has had the honor of appearing on a few times, America Betrayed. Really good guy, and he's going about this, in my opinion, in the right way, folks. He's taking a very measured approach to all of this. He's not going off the deep end. Terrible Ted, he refers to himself as Terrible Ted, which I don't understand why, but nevertheless, since that's how he insists upon referring to himself, I guess we'll have to honor that. But anyway, please make sure to check out his Rumble channel. We'll make sure to include a link to it in this program, and to send him a few words of encouragement, which always go a long, long way. Let's see. Next, folks. So on the last program, I had a few people remark that the customary intro and exit weren't there, and whether this signaled a change of format. No, folks, it doesn't. What happens is that the computer that I usually use to edit the programs suddenly decided to kick the bucket, and so I didn't have the audio editing software that I need in order to put the intro and the exit in there. That, of course, that intro being the very important statement on the part of the very non-Gentilish author, Douglas Rushkoff, I think his name is, where he's talking about the dangers of Judaism. And he's saying that, that the Jews are basically on a seek and destroy mission against everything that they don't like. Those things, of course, being the world of the Gentiles, our religions, our civilizations, our thoughts, our philosophies. He says we break things that smash things, I think was actually the verb he uses. We smash things that aren't true. And, you know, this is a very important statement. That's why we've always used it as the intro to every program, folks, because unfortunately there's a whole horde of people out there these days that say that we have nothing to worry about from Judaism as a religion. even some of these major podcasts, I understand, such as, you know, Tucker Carlson and the Young Turks and others, who say this isn't about the Jewish religion, this is about Zionism, this is about another country. But folks, when we get down to the irreducible minimum of all of this, of course it is about Judaism. Without Judaism, there would be no Jewish state. Without Judaism, there would be no Zionism. Without Judaism, there would be no AIPAC. There would be no war on terror. There would be no Operation Roaring Lion. There would be no, I don't know, whatever the name is that the American involvement in Iran has been named. There would be none of these things, folks. And it perplexes me more than it amazes me how really, really smart people, people who are much smarter than yours truly could ever hope to be, are somehow unable to connect the dots on this. You know, it's as if all of our problems, all of the world's problems with regards to this one seemingly insignificant speck of inhumanity, all began in 1948, or it began in 1898 with the first meeting of the Zionist Congress in Basel, Switzerland, or whatever. Okay. This has been a problem, folks, for the last 3,000 years. The last 3,000 years, it's always been the same reaction. You know, if you take a hammer and you line up 10 people, you're going to do a science experiment. You have each of them put their hand on the table, and you take the hammer and you bash their thumb. In 10 out of 10 times, folks, 10 out of 10 times, every one of them is going to howl in pain. And there's no mystery as to why this happens. It's not because they hate hammers and they are suffering from some irrational bigotry against hammers. It's because that howling is the result of the pain that's caused by the hammer hitting the thumb. And likewise with this group of people, folks, everywhere they go, it's always been the same reaction. And this is the lesson I think that all of us are yet to have learned, is that they are not like us, folks. They see the world in a completely different manner than we do. I think I said on one of the programs with Terrible Ted that whereas the Gentiles, like deer and sheep and other harmless animals, you know, who see the world in shades of green, such as grass and plants and leaves and things like that, the non-Gentiles, meaning those of the Judaic pedigree, whom Jesus Christ referred to as wolves, when he said, I send you out, you, my followers, I send you out as sheep amidst the wolves. The wolves see the world in shades of red, flesh and blood. And even though there are some similarities between the sheep and the wolf, okay, yeah, they both run on four legs, they're covered with fur, they have tails and long snouts, that really is where the similarities end. And there will be no peace between the two of them. Whereas the sheep, maybe they'd like to live in peace with the wolves. For the wolves, however, their definition of peace is having the sheep for dinner. And I don't mean having them for dinner as guests of honor, but rather as the main dish. Anyway, so folks, since we were last together, now I originally had a bunch of sound bites prepared. Almost all of them coming from Tucker Carlson's recent interview with Joe Kent, who was the former director of the U.S. Counterintelligence Center. And a lot of things that Joe Kent had to say, and Tucker Carlson himself, and why it is so relevant to where we find ourselves right now, which is just a few minutes away from midnight, that clock, of course, being the doomsday clock, and nobody should have any illusions about the fact that, yeah, folks, There have always been problems. There have always been wars and rumors of wars throughout mankind's history, but there's no question about the fact that it is rather late in the hour, particularly with what's going on right now in the Middle East. Now, I had originally planned on doing an extended program taking these various sound bites that Joe Kent said on the interview with Tucker Carlson and then a couple of other programs where he's talking about, you know, Israeli influence, Jewish influence in the White House, and basically how the president is, he's hogtied, folks. He's paralyzed. He really doesn't have much of a choice. This fact, unfortunately, somehow seems to escape all of the analysis and discussion that's taking place out there. Depending on who you listen to, and I'll admit, folks, I really can't speak authoritatively on this because I don't listen to anybody. I don't listen to any of Judge Napolitano's programs anymore. A lot of these analysts and experts, you know, they make all of this about the president wanting to start World War III. Tucker Carlson, on the other hand, is very clear about this in saying that, no, this is not what the president wants. He has found himself backed into a corner where he doesn't have really any other choice. And, in fact, Mr. Carlson further elaborated on that in an interview that he did with the BBC over the weekend where he referred to the president of the United States and virtually all Western leaders as a slave to Israel, slave to Netanyahu, a slave to organized Jewish power. And I think that that is the proper understanding with which we need to approach all of this, folks. Again, as we stress often on this humble little informational endeavor, we don't want to do anything that is going to in any way assist our enemies with what it is that they intend to do to us, which is, as I already said earlier, is to deprive us of our rights, of our life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And yes, folks, that includes screaming and screeching about the President of the United States being Netanyahu's errand boy and a willing errand boy, okay, that he's doing all of this because he wants to please Netanyahu. It's far more serious than that, folks. It's far more dangerous than that, okay? Anybody who has been following Donald Trump since 2016 knows that the Donald Trump that we are witnessing now is not the Donald Trump that we've known for the last 10 years. He hates war. He's terrified of nuclear war. He wants to make deals, and he wants to do this without having to hold a gun to somebody's head, unless that gun is, money, finance, whatever. So the fact that he has now been forced to implode all of his plans for preventing this one thing which he has dreaded his entire life, which is the complete consummation of the world in the fires of World War III, this is a very telling thing, folks. I've had a few people contact me and say, what is going on here? Is this three-dimensional chess? You know, does he have an ace up his sleeve? I don't know, folks. I can't say for sure. But what I suspect is that the president has run out of cards to play now, and that whatever it is that Netanyahu has threatened to do is something that is so horrible that the president basically doesn't have any choice but to go down this road that otherwise he would never choose to go down. It's a very unsettling thing, folks, and I guess the point that I'm trying to make here is that, you know, we say on this program often that we live or die based upon the conversations that happen to be taking place. Based on whatever conversations are taking place, this is going to decide what happens next, whether it's war, whether it's peace, whether it's prosperity, whether it's destruction and devastation. And it seems that most of the conversation taking place right now is how angry everyone is with the president. And like I said, folks, not for reasons that are irrational and hard to understand. I'm not angry with him, folks. I'm frightened. In fact, terrified actually is a better word, at whatever it is that was used to leverage him to do this thing which he's really, really, really opposed to doing. What is this horrible thing? Is it nuclear weapons? We know that Netanyahu threatened to use them back in June in order to force the president's hand with regards to destroying Iran's nuclear facilities. Is it a new biological weapon that will wipe out 50% of the world's population? We just don't know what it is, folks. Whatever it is, it's really, really bad. Okay? And so I think the conversation that we need to be having right now is not as much how angry we are with the president as much as how frightened we are at this unknown variable in all of this that he obviously knows about, but which none of us do. It's something just apocalyptically horrible, folks. It can't be described in anything more than that. You know, we've used the example on this program many times of the algebraic equation, you know, x, let's see, what was it, 4x equals 2. Yeah, so, no, 4x equals 8. So in this equation, x equals 2, because 4 times 2 is 8. 5x equals 10. And you know what x is because you have the 5 on one side, you have the 10 on the other, therefore x has to be 2. Well, in this case, folks, we don't know what x is other than the fact that it's something so bad that the president is willing to burn down his entire political architecture that he has spent the last 10 years building. All of his plans for ending the genocide, the religiously commanded genocide in Gaza, how is he going to move forward with this now? How is he going to secure the cooperation of all of these other countries with his Board of Peace when he can no more claim to be a peace president than Netanyahu can claim to be a practicing Christian? Everything that the president worked for, everything, all of his plans and hopes are literally going up in smoke, folks. So what is this horrible thing that the Jews have that has forced him to do this? And unfortunately, to the best of my ability, we've not been able to find this out, and nobody seems to be concerned about it. If I just going off of the titles of some of the podcasts that pop up in my YouTube feed, if they're indicative of the kinds of conversations that are taking place, this isn't a good sign, folks. We're not having the right conversation about this. The conversation should not be how horrible Donald Trump is, but rather how horrible this thing is that Netanyahu and the Jews have threatened to unleash, that have forced the president into this situation. Anyway, as I said, folks, I'm going to try to keep things here at about a 30-minute time frame. Just a few things that I want to touch on before we get to that. Assuming, of course, that we will all be in a functioning state when Wednesday rolls around, which is kind of our tentative schedule for doing this, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Let's see. Now, I realize we're going to get a little bit heavy into philosophy with the following discussion, folks, but it's actually quite important for us to understand how we've gotten to this point right now. So we ran a story on the website just a few days ago dealing with statements that have recently come out of the office of the Pope, Bishop of Rome, Leo XIV, probably the most powerful Western leader in the world, folks, because whereas Donald Trump commands a 350 million Americans, and Vladimir Putin commands, he governs 150 million Russians, and all of the various heads of state, Western heads of state, and whatever their populations are. Nevertheless, the Pope, the Bishop of Rome, commands really the largest country, if you want to call it that, in the world, even though the Vatican, technically speaking, geographically speaking, is the smallest state in the world. But nevertheless, the Pope commands the obedience, the loyalty, whatever we want to call it, of 2 billion Catholics. If he were to say the right thing, folks, what he would say would result in huge ripples. And the proof of this, obviously, is the manner in which the Jews are constantly screeching whenever the Pope, the Bishop of Rome, says something that they don't like, that somehow threatens to undo their plans for setting the world on fire. Anyway, the Pope, Leo XIV, issued a statement earlier this week, or over the weekend, where he said that the idolatry of money, quote-unquote, and the delusion of omnipotence, quote-unquote, are fueling the Iran war. Now, let's just look at that for a second, folks. He's saying that the idolatry of money and the delusion of omnipotence, which means of being all-powerful, are the fuel for this war against Iran. Now, on the surface, folks, that sounds really good. Okay, we have the idolatry of money, which, of course, resonates with those who remember the statement that the love of money is the root of all evil. I think that it was Paul who said that. And, of course, the delusion of omnipotence, you know, as far as we Catholics are concerned, there's only one thing that is omnipotent, and it is, of course, the Creator. So what the Pope had to say in this regard, the idolatry of money and the delusion of omnipotence, on a very superficial level, that sounds really good, that this is what's fueling the Iran war. But that's not it, folks. That's not it. It has nothing to do with the idolatry of money, nor the delusion of omnipotence. It has everything to do with the fact that the Jews are intent upon setting the world on fire. That's it. If the Jews somehow were just, poof, they just disappeared today, went back to whatever hellish corner of the universe that they called home before they crash landed here, if they were gone today, all of their influence, all of their malevolence and malfeasance and everything else were gone, the war in Iran would be over. The war against Lebanon and Syria would be over. The war between Russia and Ukraine would be over. All of it would just disappear into thin air, folks. So the reason that I've decided to focus on this is because this, meaning the statement on the part of the Bishop of Rome, the Pontifex Maximus, is to underscore how we've gotten into the mess that we're in, folks. Instead of saying the Jews did it, the Jews are doing this, it's because of the Jews smashing things that they don't agree with and that they don't like, just like the Jewish author Douglas Rushkoff said at the beginning of the program, assuming that we can get that soundbite worked out. Instead of saying that, folks, instead it's these murky, foggy, ethereal, confusing, poorly focused topics of idolatry of money and the delusion of omnipotence. So 2 billion Catholics around the world, and however many other people maybe have some degree of respect for what kind of opinions come out of the mouth of the most powerful Western leader in the world, they don't think that it has anything to do with the Jews and their dreams of Armageddon and World War III. Okay, it has everything to do with the idolatry of money and the delusion of omnipotence. Now, folks, is it possible that yours truly somehow knows more about this than the Pope does? I don't think so, folks. As I say often on this program, I'm really not that smart. There are plenty of people who are much smarter than me, and that includes the present occupant of the Vatican. He knows that it's the Jews. He knows while money is involved and arrogance is involved, that it's the Jews who are pushing this. But he can't say that, folks, because he has a knife to his throat, just like the rest of us do. And furthermore, to come out and say that it's the Jews, folks, obviously, we run into philosophical stumbling blocks with this, because for 2,000 years, the Christian world has been taught that the Jews were God's chosen people, that they are our elder brothers in the faith, that they gave us Jesus Christ and His Blessed Mother, that our Christianity is foundationed upon, you know, the things that they built, okay? And so there's this this false inoculation that's taken place. I'm going to try to put this together. It's just bear with me, folks. You know, all of us, I think, at least those of us listening to this program, understand now what a bad idea it was in the aftermath of COVID for people to go out and to get these vaccines. Personally, we know half a dozen people who have died suddenly out of the blue from turbo cancers and other health problems that popped up within weeks, maybe just a few months, of people getting these vaccines. People who died long before they should have, young people. So, but at the time, everybody was being told that these vaccines, not only were they harmless, they were good for you. They were going to save your life from this horrible disease that was out there. And it was poison all along, folks. I don't know what the present numbers are, but I would say that the majority of the world's people went out and got these vaccines. And now they're just sitting in their bodies waiting to go off like a time bomb and to cause them all sorts of serious health problems later. Well, folks, this essentially is what went wrong 2,000 years ago when this revolutionary new ideology arose around the person and the teachings of Jesus Christ. And the people, the doctors that we trusted, to give us good health advice mixed in this very dangerous substance into this, known as Judaism. It took thousands of years before it finally did its dirty work and its damage, but it's here now, folks. The world that exists today is exactly the world that Jesus Christ was trying to prevent, and why he gave his life warning all of us, not about things like the idolatry of money or the delusion of omnipotence or any of these other cloudy, somewhat confusing and out of focus concepts. He was very specific, folks. He used very stark language where there was no ambiguity, where he referred to this particular group of people as children of their father, the devil, and a brood of vipers. Vipers are being the most deadly, venomous snakes in the world. The viper family, the most deadly, everybody thinks that it's the cobras that are the most deadly, but it's actually the viper family that is the most dangerous. So this plan 2,000 years ago or whenever it was to inoculate people with this form of Christianity that is heavily laden with all of these, all of the toxins of Judaism. This is why the Pope finds himself now today, folks, unable to repeat the words that Jesus Christ himself said. And instead, he has to give this explanation for why the world is burning down right now on these very, as I said, confusing, murky, sort of sound good explanations, but which really rob the individual of the ability of having his or her immune system react the way that it should to this very dangerous virus that has now entered our collective bloodstream, and it is the virus, of course, of Judaism. Now, I chose this as today's topic, folks. You know, at the end of the day, is it going to result in the war against Iran coming to an end? No. Or the war against Lebanon coming to an end? No. Or the war against Gaza, the war between Russia and Ukraine, all of the other hot spots in the world where the learned elders of Zion have entrenched themselves and are up to their bushy eyebrows, causing all kinds of problems. Is it going to bring an end to all of this? No, it's not. But we do need to understand, no different, folks, than those of you out there who maybe did get that vaccine, and now you have all sorts of health problems that you never had before. You have the right to know the information that even though it was available at the time when you went to go get your vaccine, it just, you trusted what your doctor was telling you more than what your skepticism was telling you. You know, here's my doctor. He knows better than I do. If he tells me that it's safe, then it must be safe. If he tells me it's necessary, well, it must be necessary. He's smarter than I am on this issue. Now that you've got these health problems, you have to understand that maybe your doctor was wrong. Maybe he was passing along bad medical advice because he was afraid to tell you the truth because he would be ostracized. Maybe he'll lose his license, whatever. And this is why we find ourselves now today, folks, dying as a civilization, unable to fight off this virus that is intent upon destroying us, dying as a civilization because we were inoculated, we were vaccinated 2,000 years ago using the live virus of Torah Judaism, the Jews' poison, despite the fact that Jesus Christ told us in the clearest of terms, stay away from the poison of the Pharisees, of the scribes, of those who handle the Judaic law. Stay away from it. And what did we do, folks? We rolled up our sleeves as a civilization, stuck our arm out, and we allowed that needle to be stuck into our civilizational bloodstream, and now we can't do anything about it. It's in there. It's in there to stay, just like that COVID vaccine. It's never going to leave. And now we are in the process of watching as the body politic just gets sicker and sicker and closer to death with every passing minute. So why are we having this conversation, folks? Well, we're having it because, well, we're hoping for a miracle, folks. We are hoping for something that we don't deserve, but something that if enough awareness, if enough discussion of this takes place, perhaps something unexpected will happen. And we'll get this blood transfusion that we need, where we get the putrid and poisonous, I don't even know what to call it, folks, the toxicity of Judaism out of our systems. We get this blood transfusion that replaces it with something that is good and nurturing for our bodies. We have to get the Jews' poison out of our systems, folks. That's the bottom line. And it begins at an individual level. Now, I bring this up because, you know, at least once or twice a day, somebody leaves a comment on the website trying to school yours truly over some comment, an editorial comment that I attached. And they're saying, you don't understand theology. You don't understand, you know, the Old Testament and the basis for our Christian religion and all the rest of it. Let me explain it to you. And they just don't get it, folks. They just don't get it. And so even though I think that this awareness of the poison of Judaism is growing, and it is, folks. I mean, just not through an intellectual process, but really people just seeing with their eyes and smelling with their nose, you know, the rot that is around us now, the rot and the decay, the decadence, the decomposition that is around us, and it all traces back to one source. People are starting to get it, but you still have these people who, you know, they just can't make the last leap, the final jump, and to just say, no, I'm a Christian, and that means that I follow Jesus Christ. He said that he was the Alpha and the Omega, which is in the Greek alphabet, that's A to Z. It begins with him, and it ends with him. I don't need to know anything about this guy named Abraham, or this guy named Isaac, or Jacob, or Solomon, or David, or any of them. All I need to know about is Jesus Christ and what he said. And he was very clear on it. He said, these people are out to destroy you. If they get their hands on you, your life is finished. Your life in this world and your life in the next. So we have to come to that point, folks. Those of us who do consider ourselves to be followers of Jesus Christ, that includes 2 billion Christians and 2 billion Muslims around the world. Yes, folks, as I've said, I think, on the last program, the Muslims are our, even if they're not brothers and sisters, they're very, very close cousins on the issue of Jesus Christ. And our position towards them should be any friend of Jesus is a friend of ours. If it were not for the Muslims, if it were not for Islam, we would all have been erased a long time ago. They have been there as a preventive and mitigating force to the Jews' wrath, what they ultimately intend to do to us, the followers of Jesus Christ, If they hadn't been there, folks, there's no telling where we would be today. Just no different than where we would be today had the Romans not come in and did what they did in 70 AD. So we've got to get this poison out of our system, folks. That's the bottom line. It begins on the individual basis, and there's no better way for us to do this than to just say every day, long live Christ the King. Viva Cristo Rey. And let's not have any more conversations about anything else. The five books of Moses, the Old Testament, the Pentateuch, the Torah, whatever. Okay? All we need in this is Jesus Christ, whether we're able to put these fires out that threaten to consume everything, or whether it's just embracing ourselves for what is coming. And we need to do that, folks. Anybody who thinks that we're going to get through this with all of our skin intact, you're living in a dream world. We're dealing with things here we cannot even possibly imagine. Even in our worst imagination, they have things planned for us. They, the Jews, are going to do something horrible. So, folks, I don't want to end this necessarily on an overly dark note because, again, it's not all darkness. If there's one lesson that we can take, of many lessons that we can take from the recent Resurrection Day celebration, is that no matter how bad it is, no matter how, you know, the evil that the Jews do, eventually they will lose and the good will win. That's what we can take from this. They will do their damnedest, no pun intended. But in the end, just as the Quran says, the Jews plot, but God is the wisest of all plotters. Yeah, in fact, folks, that particular section of the Quran where it says that the Jews plotted to kill Jesus, but God is the wisest of plotters, and he had other plans. And so that's what we have to keep in mind as we move forward. At the same time, folks, moving forward means moving forward, not backwards. And that means we have to make sure that every step we take is in the right direction, which means, folks, making sure before we open our mouths or do anything, asking the question, is this going to help us in our mission at surviving what it is that our enemies have planned for us, or is it going to help our enemies? Anyway, that's it for today, folks. I know we bounced around a lot. I hope this wasn't too, too conceptual, too winding, whatever. I've never been accused of not using enough words, folks. A bad habit that I picked up from Mike Piper. Or a good habit, depending on how you look at it. Anyway, that's it for today, folks. Hopefully, God willing, we will be back together here again in about 48 hours. After today's Monday, April 13th, 2026 edition of the Ugly Truth broadcast. As we say often, folks, work for a miracle, pray for a miracle, because, no pun intended, we really, really need it.